ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. కఠోపనిషత్ చాప్టర్ 1 సెక్షన్ 3 తృతీయావల్లి శ్లోక 1. ఋతం పిబంతౌ సుకృతస్య లోకే గుహాం ప్రవిష్టౌ పరమే పరార్ధే ఛాయాతపౌ బ్రహ్మవిదో వదంతి పంచాగ్నయో ఏ చ త్రినాచికేతాః. సో ఇన్ దిస్ సెక్షన్ యమధర్మరాజా డీల్స్ విత్ 3 టాపిక్స్. ఫస్ట్ టాపిక్ ఇస్ ఆత్మజ్ఞానం, ద సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, అండ్ దెన్ ఆత్మజ్ఞాన సాధనం, the preparatory disciplines of self knowledge, and the third topic is atma gnana phalam, the benefit of self knowledge. And of all these three topics, Yamadharmaraja is going to focus on the preparatory disciplines more in this section. And before he begins this topic, he gives an introduction in the first 2 mantras, of which we have seen the first mantra that we just read, in which the jnanam and the jivatma and the paramatma have been introduced, and jivatma has been defined as chit abhasaha, the reflected consciousness, the consciousness that is reflected in the mind, and the mind along with the sense organs and physical body, all these put together is called jivatma, and the all pervading consciousness that is called paramatma, and that happens to be within the mind also. So the jivatma and paramatma are there within one and the same individual, and what is common is both are chetana tattvam, sentient, just as the reflected sun and the original sun are both bright and brilliant. Similarly, chid and chidabhasa, the bimba chaitanyam and the pratibimba chaitanyam, I am introducing another 2 words now, the bimba chaitanyam and the pratibimba chaitanyam, both are sentient. That is the common feature between chit and chidabhasa. And there are more uncommon features also. And so the teacher used the word chaya and atapau in this shloka. Actually, we saw this shloka in detail in the last webinar. I am just only refreshing. And the main difference is jivatma is finite. It is karta, it is bhokta, while paramatma is infinite, and it is akarta and abhokta. Since jivatma is finite, karta and bhokta, it is capable of traveling from one body to another. It is capable of destinations in life and also to work for those destinations. All these are possible for that jivatma. And then Yamadharmaraja said, this jivatma and paramatma are talked both in the Karmakanda, the Veda Purva Bhaga, as well as the Jnana Kanda in the Veda Anta Bhaga. So the only difference is what? The Karmakanda, the emphasis is more on the Jivatma aspect, because Karmakanda is full of what? Full of karma only, rituals. Whereas in the Jnana Kanda, the focus is on Paramatma. And both the Karmakanda and Jnana Kanda, they talk about Jivatma and Paramatma. Up to this we saw in the last webinar. Now let us go to the next introductory mantra of this section. Yaha seturijananam aksharam brahma yatparam abayam titirshatam param nachiketa gumshake mahi. So the jivatma introduced in the previous mantra, mantra 1, is a karta and bhokta, which can be expressed in the human birth. When the jivatma takes an animal birth, the kartrutvam, namely the doership, is overpowered because of animal shariram, body. Animals are also jivatma only, also they also have kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, both they have. But animal's kartrutvam cannot express itself in an animal's body. That is why animal's birth is a tragedy. It is a jivatma, all right. Therefore, potential for kartrutvam is there. In the plant's sukshma shariram also, pancha indriyani are there. But in the plant body, all the five organs cannot express. Provision is not there in the plant body. It also has sukshma shariram, the subtle body, and the five jnanendriyas. But the plant body does not have the provision for the expression of the jnanendriyas. And so, only one indriyam works, which is the thvag indriyam, the sense of touch. That only works for the plants. So, the sukshma shariram has all the 17 organs. And if all the 17 have to express, then what is required? A human body is required. In other physical bodies, all the 17 organs, they are not absent, but they cannot express. That is what Vedanta will say. Not that they are absent, they cannot express. And if you extend the same argument, the animals cannot express kartrutvam, doership. They don't have a free will. They cannot fight for animals' rights, if you want to say. Only we have to fight for animals' rights. So, who fights for, you know, we are the people. So, human beings fight for animals' rights, but not the animals. So, for example, when you have, you know, chicken, hen, cow, or lamb, with all these fights, you know, in this country, it's a very, very big thing. There are a lot of interested groups. They fight for the animals' rights, the way they are treated. If you go to chicken farm and also the cow farms, where they keep the cows, the chicken and all, it's all. If you look at it, it's a totally, you know, very, very different thing. So people, they fight for all their things, the way they should be treated and all. They all have got the bhoktrutvam, because of which they suffer actually. But unfortunately, kartrutvam is not absent, but cannot be expressed in a cow's shariram or a hen's shariram. For that jivatma, the sukshma shariram and chid abhasa, the reflected consciousness, which is behind the hen's body, will have to wait for the punyam to fructify to take another janma. It is not the prarabdha punyam. In this janma, they don't accumulate any punya or papa. And it cannot work fast. Agami punyam also. In this janma, it cannot acquire new punyam, papam. That hen or cow has to wait for some sanchita punyam to fructify, to take a human body in future. And then kartrutvam is not born, but it can express itself in a human body. So how lucky we are, if you have to really think, with a human body, we can have both kartrutvam, the doership, and bhoktrutvam, the enjoyership. So, jivatma can have purusharthas, goals, destinations, ambitions, objectives, all that are possible for a human jivatma when it obtains in a human body. Normally, the purusharthas are divided into four. What are those? We know it very commonly. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And in the Kathopanishad, they were reduced into two actually. In the previous section, we saw shreyascha, prayascha manushyametaha tau samparitya vivinakti dhiraha shreyohi dhiraha abhiprayaso vrinite preyo mandaha yogakshemad vrinite. We saw this mantra in the previous section. So shreyas means spiritual goal, and prayas talks about material goal. So both these goals the human jivatma can set and plan to achieve them. And if these two goals are possible, then there must be corresponding two paths also. When the sadhyams differ, the sadhanas also should differ. When the ends differ, the means will differ. That also we saw in the previous section. If the goal is a spiritual goal, the marga is jnana marga. If it is a material goal, the marga is karma marga. So the jivatma has got an election to make now. What is the ultimate goal of one's life? One can have so many, you know, sections of goals. Vedanta is not interested in discussing all that. You might not be getting water. You may fix up something else. That is also a goal. You may do something to get, maybe dig a well or do something. It's also a goal. But through the entire life, what do you want to accomplish? What is that goal? And that is the idea given in this mantra. Shakemahi. We, the Jivatma, the subject of the sentence, we have to supply actually Jivatmanaha Vayam. So we, the Jivatma, can accomplish these two possible goals. What are they? One, material goal, actually that we have to supply here, which is accomplishable through which marga? Nachiketa gum shakemahi. We can accomplish through the Nachiketa ritual, Nachiketa gum. See, the Nachiketa Agni, the Agni ritual which we mentioned earlier. We can assume we know what is meant by Nachiketa ritual now, because we have already completed that. And Nachiketa ritual is only a symbolic representation here, standing for all karmas, all types of rituals one can do to accomplish whatever material goal one wants to get. So, Shakemahi, material goals through Nachiketa ritual. And the Nachiketa ritual is given a title here that is called Yaha Ijananam Setuhu. Yaha. The Nachiketa ritual, yaha, is setuhu. Setuhu means a path, a marga, a bridge. For whom? Ijanaha. Ijanaha means yajamanaha. The ritualistic people. Karmakandinaha. Karma anushtayinaha. Those people who are following the karma anushtanas. For them, it is a goal. For the ritualistic people, the Nachiketa type ritual is the path through which they can accomplish materialistic goals. What are those? They are all basic things. One, better instruments, better body, healthy body, etc. we want. Then so that we can enjoy better things when the instruments are better. Body is better, healthy body. And two, sense objects which you want to contact and enjoy. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. In fact, all the entertainment gadgets for which we work, they are all included in this. And the third one is the healthy environment to enjoy them. Unless we have a healthy enjoyment, we cannot enjoy them also. So, if you are in a country, for example, where the bomb explosions go on regularly here and there, every day, there we have got a wonderful house, wonderful sense object, but we only don't know when it will blow off. So, where will be enjoyment? So, the environment should be one of peace and harmony. Then only we can enjoy. They are called Upadi Loka Vishayaha. So these are the three basic material goals of all human beings. Better health, better sense objects, and better environment. And all our desires can be also broadly fit into these three. So all these Ijananam Setuhu Karma. And there are some other Jivatma among us who are interested in what? Aksharam Brahma. For whom the infinite Brahman, the Aksharam Brahma, that is the means. Here Brahman is what? Brahma Jnanam. Brahman means Brahma Jnanam. So for whom Akshara Brahma Jnanam Arga is the means. That is the means. For accomplishing which goal? Not for improving the body or other things, because they know they are all going to perish. All the other things, bodily enjoyment and all are going to perish. But they are interested in what? Abhayam, Param, Titirshatam, who are interested in reaching the param, the other shore of samsara, that is immortality. That's what they want to reach. And what type of immortality also? Abhayam, which is the only security, ultimate security, fearlessness. In body, security is not there. It is ever insecure. In fact, what security we have in any upadi, any loka or vishaya? None of them are secure. In fact, the higher you go, more insecure we are. The prime minister cannot enjoy, for example, a walk on the road. On a Sunday morning, we can just get out of the road and run or whatever jog. Can a prime minister or a president do that? No. At least we can walk. They cannot even do those things because all the time, that security, the security around them. So the entire materialistic world is insecure. The only security is Bhagavan. Or Brahman, and therefore Abhayam, Param, Titirshatam. Those who want to reach the ever secure shore of samsara, what the means for them? Aksharam, Param, Brahma. Aksharam Brahmajnanam or Jnana Margam alone is the means. Of these two, we can choose anyone. Whether one wants finite goal or whether one wants infinite goal. Shake Mahi. We can choose anyone. And most of the people, unfortunately, after long thinking, choose prayas, the material goals only, finite goals only. That is why it was said in the previous section, Prayo Mandaha, Yoga Kshemad Vrinite, the dull witter, the Mandaha, unintelligent person, indiscriminate person, he chooses prayas, the Prayo Marga. But Nachiketas like people choose the Shreyo Marga as the destination, as the path to their goals. Let's continue. Mantra number 3. Atmanam ratinam viddhi shariram ratameva cha buddhin tusaratim viddhi manapragrahameva cha. With the previous two mantras, the introductory part is over for this third valli. In the introduction, the Jivatma, the traveler, has been introduced. And two forms of destinations also were introduced, the Shreyo Marga and the Prayo Marga. Shreyas and Prayas. Two paths have been introduced also, the Jnana Marga and the Karma Marga. So the traveler is ready now, the destinations are ready, the paths are also set. So here afterwards, we have to talk about only the journey or the travel. And the Upanishad does not want to talk about the materialistic journey, which is in the Karmakanda portion. Now we are in the Upanishad. So we have come to the Upanishadic portion. Now the Upanishad assumes that we are all interested in the spiritual journey only, in the Jnana Marga only. And so the Upanishad wants to talk about the ideal condition for the success of this spiritual travel. How to make this travel, this journey successful? And what is the most important general rule? It is for any journey to be successful, the vehicle must be made journey worthy, or it should be road worthy. The car should be road worthy. For example, if you want to go all the way from here to Florida or some place, what are the things to check? There is a checklist. You check the car, so many things. In this life journey also, we have to check whether the vehicle is in a fit condition. Now the next question is, what is the vehicle for this life's journey? That's the next question. And the Upanishad gives an analogy known as the Ratha Kalpana, the imagery of a Ratha Kalpana. It is a very, very famous example, one of the most brilliant examples, the chariot analogy, called the chariot analogy, because those days they were using chariots for journey, not cars. Maybe today, you know, it will be all car analogy. Those days it was chariot analogy. And here also, the Lord has given a very beautiful vehicle for travel. And this analogy is discussed actually in Slokas 3 to 9. It's a very, very important portion in this section. And first we will see the gist of the analogy, the chariot analogy, so that it will be easier to understand the mantra. Now in the chariot, what are the parts involved in the journey? If you look at it, the chariot itself, namely the Rataha, The horses, they draw the chariot, that is the Ashwaha, and the reins to control the horses, and the charioteer who controls the horse and the chariot through the reins, and the master, the traveler, who is seated behind, who does not drive. Destination is for the master and not for the driver, we should understand that. And the roads through which the horse and the chariots, they travel, the margaha. So these are the 6 parameters one has to consider when one starts a journey. And the Upanishad, for the life's journey also, these 6 factors are involved. And what are the 6 factors for the life's journey? 1. In the place of the chariot, we have the physical body. Because that physical body moves from place to place. So the chariot is the physical body. And in the place of the horses that draw the chariot, we have the sense organs which draw the body from one place to the other. Why all your bodies are here? For example, now we are listening to this lecture. We are all here because your ears want to hear Kathopanishad. So it is the ears which have decided to bring your body here, or your mind which I wanted to listen. So the sense organs are comparable to the horses. Therefore, this body is a five-horsed chariot. There are five sense organs and this is a five-horsed chariot. And number three, the horses are controlled through the reins. Similarly, the sense organs are regulated by what? By the mind. Mind decides which sense organs to operate. For example, even though you have decided to come to the class, you have come also. You are seated here also. So body is here. Hearing power is great. But still, if your mind is slightly disturbed or worried or distracted and refuses to be behind your ears, you know for certain you won't listen to any words at all, in spite of your intellectual competence. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a beautiful mantra that says, Anyatra mana abhuvam na apashyan. Anyatra mana abhuvam na ashruvan. Manasa heva pashyati. Manasa shrunoti. That is why sometimes people, they complain, that day I was looking at you, I was smiling at you, but you never returned my smile. Why? Because I was looking at the person, all right, but my mind was not seeing him. My physical eyes were seeing him, not my mind. And so what controls the sense organs? Only the mind, which is comparable to the reins. And then the reins themselves are handled by whom? By the buddhi, the intellect, comparable to the driver. Because intellect can control the mind, the emotion, that is why knowledge becomes very important, because all our emotional problems, they can all be solved by what? By an enlightened intellect. That is why Krishna says, Gatasunu agatasumcha na anushochanti panditaha. All sorrows, they all can be cured by wisdom. Attachment, hatred, all these problems, they can be all solved by buddhi, the wisdom. That is why Vijnanamaya Kosha is more powerful than Manomaya Kosha. In the Pancha Kosha, the Vijnanamaya Kosha is more powerful than Manomaya Kosha. The only thing is what? Sometimes we find, in spite of the powerful Vijnanamaya Kosha, the Manomaya Kosha, the emotions, they seem to overpower sometimes. It is because we have not tackled the emotional problem at the root level itself. We let it grow so much. If Vijnanamaya Kosha handles the mind at the beginning, it is very easy. But if the emotions have been nourished, Vijnanamaya Kosha was not utilized, then what happens? Manomaya Kosha appears to be too powerful than Vijnanamaya Kosha, the buddhi. We are using the word Manomaya Kosha. It appears to be, you know, still Vijnanamaya Kosha is stronger. Only thing is, it requires longer effort. Like, you know, breaking any habit. If you become addicted to a particular habit, it is very difficult to remove them. If it was for a short time, we can break it easily. If it is nourished for a long time, it takes longer time to break it also. So, the intellect is the driver. Mind is the reins. Sense organs are the horses and body is the chariot. Then who is the traveler? The Jivatma of the first shloka, that we should remember the definition of Jivatma, the Chidabhasa. He is the traveler, comparable to the Chaya of the first shloka. Chaya Atau, Atapu. So that first shloka. So five factors are over now. So what is the sixth factor now? The sixth factor is outside the body, the marga, the roads through which the chariot has to travel. And the Upanishad says, since there are five horses, there are five lanes as it were. And what are those five? The fivefold sense objects, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. So ears travel through the sound road. That means what? Music, lecture, etc. The eyes, they travel through the Rupa road, varieties of pictures, colors, forms. And the nose travels through the smell road, in the field of smell, fragrance. Thus, all the pancha indriyani, pancha vishayaha, indriyani are the horses, vishayas are the margas. Now the vehicle is ready. With this vehicle, we have to make this journey. the journey of life. And the Upanishad says, don't be in any hurry to start the journey. If you want the journey to be successful, make sure the vehicle is journey worthy or road worthy. And if you want to attend a music program, for example, greater the musician, greater the preparation. To tune the tambura itself, it takes forever. The musician comes and sits in the hall. My God, they take enormous time to tune, to check the acoustics, to check the sound, so much. If it is a Hindustani music, for example, they are very particular about the Shruti. They say Carnatic musicians have no Shruti at all, according to the Hindustani musicians. So fine-tuning, because they have to do voice culture itself for years. Here we have arangetrams done in 1 or 2 years in the Carnatic music. But they do for 2-3 years only sapasa in the Hindustani music style. So if a 1 hour concert requires so much care, a rare life, we don't even know if the birth is the last birth or is the last birth or more births are there. So we don't know what birth will be next. How much importance then I should give for this fine tuning of my equipment, this journey. So this is a big, big question that everybody has to really tackle with very, very diligently. Therefore, what are the preparatory disciplines? Number one, all the 5 factors should be healthy. Leaving the road, it is on government's hands. Right? If you leave the traveler also, the 4 factors should be fine. Mind must be healthy. A spiritual seeker can never afford to ignore the health of the body. Vedanta wants us against the pampering of the body, but Vedanta equally wants us against the negligence of the body also. Pampering of the body is one extreme, negligence is the other. Proper care of the body is the right attitude, exercise, food, yoga, whatever. And that is why in our tradition, Ashtanga Yoga has been given so much of prominence. Shankaracharya always writes in his commentary, even a sannyasi has to practice Ashtanga Yoga to keep his body fit. So condition number one is what? Good health. That is why in our Shanti Mantra also we have Stiraham, Stiraihi, Angaihi, Tushtuvagum Saha, Tanubihi. Steady, healthy limbs are prayed. Even for moksha or even for the material pleasures also, one needs very good health. So preparation number one is keep your body fit, the chariot fit. And the second preparation, keep the sense organs also fit. The horses must be fit and it should be obedient also. Even to do Vedanta Shravanam, ears are required. To read, eyes are required. The second condition is what? Badram karnebihi shrunuyama devaha. Badram pashyema akshabihi. So mind should be, the sense organs all should be fit. And the third factor is mind should be healthy, should be emotionally resilient. We don't say emotion should not be there. Vedanta never says emotion should not be there. But it says emotion should be balanced. I should not be carried away by emotions. I should not allow them to cloud my thinking. Thinking is the most important part of decision making. And if my thinking has to be sound, I should not allow my emotions to hijack my discriminative power. Which means what? They must be managed by me. A healthy mind is one which has got sufficient immunity against violent emotions to withstand and recover from it. If my mind does not have immunity power, then I have got emotional, problems. An emotionally unsound person who has now no power against sorrow, anxiety, depression, worry. So one should be able to fight, to manage, recover and carry on in life. Not just get suppressed, get immersed in those things. So eternally a person cannot be moody. Swami Dayananda, he says actually, those who are controlled, who control my moods are called mudaha. Those people who are controlled by the moods, they are called mudaha. We all have got moods, nothing wrong. But I should be able to manage and recover and carry on from those moods. This is called a sound mind. emotional well-being is the next condition, that is the psychological balance in crisis situations also. So they say, actually, once upon a time, the success was directly related to the IQ, the intelligence quotient, those days. Later, they found that mere intelligence is not enough. He should have high EQ, emotional quotient also. Not just only intelligence quotient, he should also have high emotional quotient. Now they say that EQ is more important than IQ. Emotional quotient is more important than IQ. And emotional imbalance, emotional balance is directly dependent on what? On values. Samadhi Shatka Sampattihi depends on Dharma. Where Dharma is there is Shama. So all those things they follow, the value system. Then the fourth factor is the intellectual health. Emotional health we talked about. Then the intellectual health. I should be intellectually sound and sharp. And intellect language knows only one language. What is that? Reasoning. Reasoning is the best way to analyze anything. So I should be sound in reasoning because I am interested in knowledge. And knowledge can be dropped into the intellect only through the funnel of reasoning. Intellect has got such a narrow neck that the only funnel that will work is logical reasoning alone. I cannot afford to get knowledge without reasoning. We can try to have blind faith and suppress the reasoning. That is why many people try to be bhaktas of God without understanding God. They want to be blind bhaktas only without understanding the real God. That is why as long as life moves well, they will be bhaktas. No problem. But when things go violently wrong, then they start questioning. If the Lord is compassionate, why does he not help in spite of all my prayers? These are all complaints. Is there a Lord at all? Then the faith for them is shaken. Therefore, one can never suppress the intellect. Reasoning alone should help a person analyze a situation. One can have the most powerful faith, but at the crucial time, the intellect will question that. So the best way is out what? Answer your question. That is why we say Vedanta is not a matter of faith. Vedanta is not a matter of faith. It is a matter for knowledge, for understanding. One's reasoning intellect must be convinced. And which means the intellect must be sound, should be healthy. And the soundness of the intellect is the capacity to do what? To logically think. And that is why in those days, they also taught those shastras which will train a person in proper thinking. The thinking faculty should be trained well. Tarka Shastra is exclusively developed to develop the faculty of logical thinking and analysis. Therefore, capacity of the intellect to think is the health of the intellect. And the second capacity is language analysis, mimamsa. Because our knowledge is received and conveyed through what? Through language. I am trying to give knowledge only through the medium of language. And therefore, I must have the capacity to present my knowledge in an appropriate, unambiguous language. Most important. Appropriate, it should be unambiguous. There should be no doubts about how it is being communicated. Not only that, I should be able to convert my knowledge into words. I may know a lot of things, but unless I can convert them into proper words and express it properly, communicate it properly, no transfer of knowledge will happen. Because here the teaching, the words are the only means of communication. Unlike tape-to-tape conversions, we have got tape-to-tape conversions in a tape recorder. There is no other medium other than language, written or spoken, whatever it is. That is the only medium of communication. So language skill is another important intellectual skill, which is called an analytical intellect, Mimamsa Shastram. That is Tarka Shastram. This is Mimamsa Shastram. And above all, grammar. Language means grammar. So the three sciences, they develop for tuning the intellect, all of them. Mimamsa, then Vyakarana, Tarka. These are all fundamental tools. Mimamsa is this analysis, and Vyakarana, grammar, and Tarka. This is called soundness of the intellect. When an intellect can reason out using these tools, that intellect is called a sound intellect. So the preparations are health of the body, the sense organs, mind, and intellect. So Arogyam, Damaha, Shamaha, and Viveka or Medha Shakti. Then comes the final and equally important value. What is that? Not only each organ must be healthy, all of them should function in coordination. Most important. If there is no arjavam, arjavam means coordination, harmonization, integration, nothing can work. Like a music concert, the best talents of all, but for success, they all must coordinate and harmonize. Unless they coordinate, it won't be a concert, it will be something else. So arjavam is important. Manasyekam, pachasyekam, karmanyekam, mahatmanam. Manas anyat, pachasi anyat, karmani anyat, turatmanam. So mahatma is a person whose organs are in alignment. Manas, vak, and indriyas. They all should be in harmony. They all should be in alignment. He only is a Mahatma. If the intellect decides to come to the class, the mind also obeys and remains in the room. Not only the mind, sense organs, words, everything. So, Vang me manasi pratishtita, mano me vachi pratishtitam. So, O Lord, let my words be in coordination with my thoughts, and let my thoughts be in coordination with my words. So all the 17 organs of Sukshma Shariram, they all must work as a team. All the 17, we know, 5 Jnanendriyas, 5 Karmendriyas, Pancha Pranaha, and then Manas and Buddhi. So there should be a team work of all the 17, whether it is sports, corporation, music, whatever it is. So the next value is Arjavam, harmony, coordination. So all these 5 values or disciplines, they are conveyed in this particular shloka through the Ratha Kalpana. So with this background, now let us see the meaning of the shloka. And as we said earlier, this Ratha Kalpana is from Mantra 3 to Mantra 9. We are starting here with this shloka, but the Kalpana extends up to Mantra 9. Atmanam Rathinam Viddhi. Atma, Atma means the Jivatma, the traveler, the Chidabhasa, Chitabhasa Chaitanyam, the reflected consciousness, along with the reflecting medium is the traveler. All this reflected consciousness and all, please refer to the previous webinar, that we talked about all that. So the Jivatma, the traveler, the Chidabhasa Chaitanyam, the reflected consciousness, along with the reflecting medium is the traveler. Then the Paramatma cannot be the traveler. Why? We are talking about the Jivatma as the traveler. Why cannot Paramatma be the traveler? Because Paramatma cannot go for a picnic or pilgrimage. Paramatma cannot travel. So Jivatma is called Atma here. And Ratinam Viddhi. Ratinam is the traveler, Yajamana, seated in the chariot, Rati. And Shariram Rathamevacha. Shariram, the physical body, is the ratham, the vehicle, the chariot. And the body is called Shariram. And in Sanskrit, Shariram is that which is fast decaying and deteriorating. One cannot eternally postpone decay and deterioration. So Raja Bhadrahari, he says, before the body disintegrates, travel. Yavati, there is a beautiful this thing. So there is it's a digression. So Bhadragiri says, before the body starts to disintegrate, you finish your travel. And buddhim tu saratim viddhi. The intellect is the driver, buddhi. And so the driver should be informed well with all confusing roads and all, how to deal with them, one-way street, two-way street, no-way street, no entry boards, everything. So if local ways themselves are so confusing, when we drive here, what to talk about life's ways? And so intellect must be very well informed. And it is very, very, very difficult for the intellect to know the path by itself, because it is so confusing. So what is the best way? Here, the guide map is in the hand, which is called Shastra. Because the life's ways are all given in this manual called Dharma Shastra. So we use the Shastra to know that's the guidance. So we should not be egoistic. Don't think, I will find out myself. Don't do all that. Take the guidance of the Guru and the Shastra. Life's ways are so complicated. Only they can provide us, the Guru, the parents, whatever it is. They only, Shastra, they only can give us the actual way. So, Dayananda Swami says, intelligence is seeking help in appropriate time without ego. That is called intelligence. Intelligence is what? Seeking help at the appropriate time without ego. Like Arjuna, Shishyasteham, Shadimam, Pam Prapannam. That's what he said. So, intellect must be informed and should take help of Guru Shastra Upadesha. Going to a Guru, seeking the help of a Shastra and learning from that. And also we have to avoid drunken driving and all that, right? Similarly, the most informed intellect cannot reach the destination if it is deluded. Even the most important intellect cannot reach this if it is deluded. So the moha drink should not enter the intellect at all. So buddhim tu sarathim viddhi and manaha pragrahamevacha. Mind is the reins which is behind the sense organs. So only if the mind is in proper balance, then alone it can control the sense organs. If it is unruly, then the sense organs cannot be mastered. Manaha pragrahamevacha. Pragraham means the reins. And the next mantra that tells the further parts. The next mantra that talks about the further parts, that's we will read. Indriyani hayani ahuhum vishayam steshu gocharan atmendriya mano yuktam bhoktetya hurmanishanaha. So indriyani hayani ahuhu means hayaha means ashwaha, the horse. Sense organs are comparable to the horses. The horses, they drag the chariot. Similarly, the indriyas, they drag the body from one place to another for hearing, seeing, you know, tasting, all these vishayas. And where do the horses, the sense organs move? Vishayams teshu gocharan. Vishayaha means sense objects, all the sense objects. In the Shastras, they have a technical way of presenting this. When we talk about sense objects, we enumerate various things in the creation. For example, television is a sense object, but Vedanta will not say so. We are not interested in the TV box, but in the TV where you see the pictures. So when we say TV is a sense object, what we exactly mean is the rupam or forms presented by the TV is the sense object, not the TV box. The rupams, the forms that are presented by the TV, that is a sense object. It also gives audio, video. They are the two things we are interested. So Shastra will not say TV. It will say Shabda and Rupa, audio and video. They are the sense objects. And if we say the delicious food is a sense object, Shastra will say it is the rasaha, the taste, that is a sense object. Because our sense organs are not interested in the object, but in the Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa only. And so how many sense objects are there? There are only five. You may have any number of TVs, that iPod, all kinds of things. Doesn't matter. But as far as we are concerned, there are only five sense objects. The whole world has only five sense objects. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. And the five sense organs are moving in that field. Therefore, Vishayan. Vishayan means what? Sabda Adin, all the Shabda and other things. Teshu Gocharan, Gocharaha means Margaha, Pantaha. So those paths. So they are the fivefold path or field of movement. And this Rati, this Jivatma, the traveler, is called Bhokta. Bhokta Iti Ahuhu. This Rati, the traveler, is called Bhokta. Because the very purpose of travel is what? A person becomes a karta only for the sake of becoming a bhokta. I do a thing because I want to enjoy the fruit of my karma. No one is interested in karma per se. Everybody is interested in karma palam only. So the traveler is a karta so that he can become a bhokta later. Either he wants to enjoy the preyoboga or the shreyoboga. He may get the material enjoyment or the spiritual enjoyment. Either he wants anitya sukham or nitya sukham. In Vedantic parlance, anitya sukham, the ephemeral sukham, or nitya sukham, the eternal sukham. And this bhokta consists of, what are the things? Atma, indriya, manoyuktam. The pradibimba, the pradibimba chaitanyam that we have to supply here. Otherwise, it's called the chidabhasa chaitanyam, or the reflected consciousness is called bhokta. Endowed with what? Three things. Atma, the physical body, the shariram. We should be careful. This is not Sachidananda Atma. This is physical body. And indriya. Indriya means the sense organs. And manaha, the mind. And yuktam. Yuktam means endowed with. Endowed with the mind, sense organs, and the body. Then we have to supply the pradibimba chaitanya. So what is the full meaning now? The reflected consciousness, along with the body, sense organs, and the mind, is called the bhokta jivatma. And who is now a karta, so that he can later become a bhokta. Now he is the doer, karta. He will become a bhokta later at the time of getting the palam. And that is why in the sleep state, even though the jivatma is very much there, it cannot enjoy anything because the media of enjoyment is not available at the deep sleep state. Body, sense organs, mind, etc. are taking rest. So the jivatma cannot do any bhoga. In the waking state, the body, sense organs and mind, they are all active. And so the jivatma can be a bhokta. Iti, this ratakalpana, who presents manishinaha ahuhu. The wise people, they talk about this journey of life. That means what? Even the Upanishadic Rishi, he claims that they have not said this. And other wise people have said. So the Upanishadic Rishi also says, they have not said it. Other wise people have said. And those wise people also say the same way. It is not our invention. We have heard from our gurus, etc. So, yitim. So, all these whichever was described earlier here, it is not claimed to be by one person, but this is how it has been learned over the ages. That is why we say the parampara of teaching is anadi parampara. It is not that it just started yesterday or day before yesterday. It is an anadi parampara. So, manishinaha ahuhu. Mantra 5. Yastu avijnanavan bhavati ayuktena manasa sada tasyendriyanyavashyani tushtashvayiva saratehe. Now, the question is, the vehicle that we possess, is it our friend or our foe or our enemy? The Shastra says it all depends on. So it doesn't give an answer directly. It depends on the condition of the vehicle. Is it a good car or a bad car? That means what? Our own body-mind complex can be our friend or our foe. And this idea alone Krishna borrows from here and presents in the 6th chapter of the Gita. Krishna borrows a lot of ideas from the Kathopanishad in the Gita. Banduratmanam atman manastasya yenatmai vatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetam atmaiva shatruvate. That's what Krishna says there in the 6th chapter. A healthy body is your friend, whereas a sick body is your enemy. A happy mind is your friend. An unhappy mind is your enemy. You have to find methods to kill it. This mind gives me this much anxiety, fear. And the tragedy is what? You cannot run away from your own mind. Not like problem from others. You can run away from them. But we cannot run away from our mind. Even if you go to Kailas, you have to take the mind with us. There also you don't sleep because of worries of the mind even after going to Kailas Manasarovar. The tragedy is even more because everybody else is sleeping. Because you are in a group. All others are sleeping and you cannot sleep. The tragedy is even more. Then they go for alcohol, drugs, this, that, and all. So all because of what? I cannot handle my mind. Even suicide will not help. Why? In suicide, we can destroy what? Only the body, the sthula shariram. The mind will continue. Another body will come. The same mind will haunt in the other body also. And so the mind can be a wonderful friend or a terrible enemy. So we have to pay attention to our mind. Study of our mind is very, very essential for everybody. We cannot take it for granted. We cannot say my mind will be sound all the time. What are the thoughts in my mind? What is the cause for those thoughts? Are those thoughts good for me or not? All these questions we have to ask. Since mind is the most important thing, I should understand it. So if the vehicle is fit, it is your friend and will take you to your destination. If it is not fit, it will take you to not to a destination, but to some other destination, a naraka only. So he says, yastu avijnanavan bhavati. Suppose the intellect driver is uninformed, does not know what is the goal of life, what is life, etc. And ayuktena manasa sada. Suppose the mind is unruly, it is undisciplined. That is where the thoughts happen without my permission. The mind goes on thinking without my instance. And even when I want to change the course of thought, if the mind does not obey, my intellect says, don't go in that route. But mind says, no, I am comfortable with this. Let me go in this route only. And so if I have a terrible mind, ayuktena, undisciplined mind, sadha, all the time, the mind may not be disciplined. Shastra does not expect that also. Because mind, sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha, that is the nature of mind. It will always be vacillating. Like a physical body also, not that someone will not fall sick at all. People will have cough, cold sometimes, you know, seasons change, sometimes they may have. Sometimes he may get cold, some cough. The question is, most of the time, where I am? That is the question. It should be predominantly healthy. There is nothing like absolute health all the time. Predominantly healthy. Once in a way, sickness is okay. Similarly, once in a way, the mind can have jealousy problem. Because in life, we encounter situations where such things might happen. Anger problem can happen. But the thing is what? If that is dominant, Shastra says, then there is a problem. You should address that seriously. There is no 100% healthy mind at all. In every mind, there are problems. Like kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. The problems will be there in every mind. But if that is dominant, then it has to be criticized. That is what is being criticized by the Upanishad here. So, sada ayuktena, always undisciplined, sada. Then naturally, what will be the consequence? The driver is not all right and the reins are not in control. Means what? The steering is not functioning properly. Then what will be the condition of the wheels of the chariot, of the wheels or the horses? Tasyendriyani avashyani. All his sense organs will be unruly also. He will be a kamacharaha, kamavadaha, kamabhakshaha. So he will be all that thing. Kamachara means whatever he feels like doing, he will do. No discipline of karmendriyas. And kamavadaha, he speaks whatever he wants to speak. There is no restriction. What should be spoken, what should not be spoken. Kamabhakshaha eats anything and everything he sees. So this person, he is dragged by his own sense organs without any control. Then what will be the consequence? I am not in charge of my life. So the first rule of spirituality is I should take charge of my life. I am responsible and accountable for my life. And we may wonder, how can I take charge of my life? Because I am such a feeble person. People might argue, but the Shastra says, you can take the assistance of what? Assistance of God, assistance of a guru, assistance of a Shastras to help you, to make you stronger. But they cannot take charge of you. They can help you. Only you should take charge. That is why someone said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habit. Watch your habit, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So your destiny, ultimate destiny, depends on your thoughts. If you go to Gomukh or, you know, Talakaveri someplace, it starts from a small opening only. If you go to Gomukh, the Ganges starts from a very small opening only, which ultimately becomes a huge river. Similarly, our entire life starts in my mind in the form of some tickling thought alone. I cannot take my thoughts for granted, nor my words also. And Yamadharmaraja says, in the case of a person who does not take charge of himself, the problem will be Indriyani Avashyani. Avashya means undisciplined, uncontrolled. So Avashyani means Navashyani, Avashyani. Vashyam, Avashyam. So not controlled, not mastered, not disciplined. Like what? Dushta Ashwaha Iva Sarathehe. His sense organs are comparable to the unruly horses, Dushta Ashwaha, of the driver. So like the wild horses, all these indriyas will become like wild horses and will drag him away in any direction. On the other hand, the contrast is given in the next shloka that we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasa maheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.